All right, if you have your Bible, I invite you to open up with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We're going to read this morning verses 1 through 14. I know some of you, like, you're like, wasn't that the sermon you just preached? Like, did you just preach the sermon already? That wasn't the sermon, but it is an abbreviated sermon this morning. So happy Mother's Day, right? Let's stand for the reading of God's word, if you will. So we believe that the writer of the book of Acts is the writer Luke. We believe Luke was a physician, that Luke was a meticulous personality, that Luke wanted to get things right and he wanted to be thorough in his research. And that we believe that he not only wrote the gospel that we call Luke, that he also wrote the book of Acts. And so this is a follow-up to the gospel of Luke. And here's how he starts, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. He says, in my former book, meaning the gospel that we just referenced, in my former book, Theophilus, he's writing to the lovers of God. Real quick, kind of nerdy stuff here. Theo, meaning God. Phileo, the Greek word for lover. So in my former book, Lovers of God, we don't necessarily buy into the idea that Theophilus is a person, but that his book is being written to all lovers of God in first century and all lovers of God in the 21st century. So wherever you are, if you are a lover of God, he's writing to you. You could hear these words today as if he wrote this for you 2,000 some years ago, okay? So in my former book, Theophilus, Lover of God, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. That's where we've spent the last month coming out of Easter. We followed John's gospel from the empty tomb and all of Jesus' appearances to his disciples, to other people. We've been walking that journey with him. Verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In other words, something's coming in a few days. The Holy Spirit's coming in a few days, and I want you to be ready for it. Verse 6, so when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. That had to be a pretty crazy experience. Amen? They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? It was like Jesus just went up there and he disappeared. Why else would we be standing here looking into the sky? They said to him, to them, this same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. Verse 14. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Center point, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You can be seated. Next Sunday, we're going to be doing our 75th celebration, and so we're not going to be on this particular topic next Sunday, but next Sunday, despite being our 75th celebration for us at Center Point, next Sunday is actually Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is that day in the life of the church where we celebrate the birth of the church, not meaning a local congregation, but meaning the birth of the church as it grows out of Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, and in that moment, the disciples of Jesus began to speak in other tongues so that people who could not understand their native language were able to hear the gospel in their own native language. And when we call that today, we call that day today Pentecost Sunday. Okay, Pentecost for us is often represented by the color red. It wouldn't be uncommon for a lot of churches, particularly those who follow a more liturgical calendar, to wear the color red on Sunday to signify the fire of the Holy Spirit falling on these guys. The language that's used in Acts chapter 2 is pretty interesting language when it says that Luke said that what fell on these guys looked like tongues of fire resting on their heads. Pretty weird visuals, really. But as these tongues of fire, the process of the Holy Spirit coming on them, these guys were given a power to then speak languages that they didn't even understand, but so that people around them could hear the good news of the gospel being proclaimed. And on that day, Luke tells us in Acts chapter 2 that thousands were added to their number, and that gave rise to the birth of the church. So when Pentecost Sunday falls, again, typically in the month of May throughout the year, we still celebrate that first birthday for the church to be reminded that the Holy Spirit comes in power, strengthens us in this place as the body of Christ, but then sends us out to go and to be his salt and his light in the world around us, right? To bless other people. Now, here's the thing. Today, we stop just short of Pentecost so that we could talk about a prelude to Pentecost. What comes before Pentecost? And I want to pitch this idea to you. That the prelude to Pentecost is prayer. Will you look at your neighbor right now and say, the prelude to Pentecost is prayer. Okay, let's try it one more time. The prelude to Pentecost is prayer. Okay. The prelude to Pentecost is prayer. You know how I know that? Because I just read it right there in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. They gathered together. Who gathered together? His disciples, those people that Luke calls by name, right? This thorough physician who wants us to understand. These weren't random individuals. These were people who had names, who had families that they left in order to follow Jesus. These people, who gathered Luke? Luke, who was there constantly praying? Here's who was there. Not just a random congregation, but who gathered? Well, Tommy gathered. Odean gathered. Eric gathered. Ruth gathered. Jim gathered. Rick gathered. Who gathered? These people gathered, and they were in constant prayer for the Holy Spirit to come upon them and fill them so that they might be able to go out and be the people God had called them to be. The prelude to Pentecost was prayer. Dwayne, what is Pentecost? Pentecost is the birth of the church. Dwayne, in my own life, what's a prelude to Pentecost? The prelude to Pentecost in my own life is prayer. Dwayne, what would Pentecost look like in my own life? It would be a rebirth of my heart and my spirit so that I am better equipped to go be who Jesus wants me to be out in the world. A few weeks ago, several from our church had the opportunity to go to District Advance. District Advance is this annual meeting for Florida Nazarenes. Our district on which Centerpoint is runs from the Georgia-Florida state line to about an hour and a half south of Orlando. There's about 135 churches within our district. On this particular weekend, we went, assuming that we were going to have typical business meetings like we normally have, sprinkled with some keynote speakers meant to encourage us. On this particular advance, the theme for the entire week was revitalization. Revitalize. Now I'm going to make this confession to you. What I thought I was walking into, I thought I was walking into a business meeting that was going to have some motivational speeches about some things I could do as a pastor to get you people in gear, right? You need to get your church recharged, pastor, come over here, do these five things and really get those people in gear. Yeah. Right, so I went in and I was really praying like, Lord, speak to me through this thing. Speak to us through this thing. We had about 35, how many delegates we have, Megan? 35, ding, 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 winner. Okay, we had 35 delegates at this thing. Like, Lord, can you do something in our lives that we could take back to Center Point and something new could happen in and through our church? So we go through this week, and you know what happened? Is it wasn't this idea of all these random tips, all these things you could do to really get your people charged up. But what started happening was rising to the surface of this weekend was this call to prayer. What I thought was going to happen was they were going to say, if you want to revitalize your church, just do these five things differently and you'll revitalize your church. And what started happening is different speakers, as they spoke, as communication was given, what started happening was the overall message started to come through. If you want to revitalize your church, get your own heart revitalized. Well, how do I do that? Through prayer. And so I started working even in those moments with a concept that we've talked about here before, but that becomes so critical for us in the life of the church. You see, sometimes the process of revitalization in the life of the church is this. We take a room this big and we go, oh Lord, will you revitalize every single person that's within the scope of these four walls? And if you revitalize all of us, then we could be better equipped to go and to do and to be who you want us to go and do and be. And through that time, the Spirit started speaking to me about an older concept that we've talked about what it means to draw a circle around yourself. You see, sometimes the tendency when we pray is we pray that God will fix everybody else. Lord, if you could just get Shelly Miles straightened up, boy, we'd really be able to do something as a church, right? What would it look like, though, in my own heart and in my own life if truly I could draw a circle around Dwayne and I could say, Lord, revitalize Center Point and start with this circle right here. Lord, revitalize this church, this entire place, and start with Dwayne. What would happen? Perhaps Dwayne would be revitalized. Perhaps some of you would look at him and go, man, he's kind of a weirdo, isn't he? What's going on with him? Like, I'm being revitalized, right? I'm being born again. I'm being made new. God's given me new energy, and he wants us to live with new energy to go and be who he wants us to go and be. What would it look like if I drew the circle around Dwayne and just said, Lord, revitalize this entire congregation and start with me? That's what we're going to do this morning. We're not going to give you chalk so you can draw actual circles on the floor, because then Tom will come and get me, right? We'll have a big mess. But we're going to do something very different this morning that we've never done at Center Point before. We're going to enter into a time that in the life of the church is called a concert of prayer. For our purposes today, we're going to follow a prayer pattern that is actually called ACTS. A-C-T-S. Adoration. Confession. Thanksgiving, and supplication. And so what's going to happen is here in a moment, we're going to have different leaders who come and lead us into a time of corporate prayer, but ultimately invite us into a time of personal prayer. And around each of these four areas, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, we'll then have about 2 or 3 minutes to just spend time praying for our own hearts and lives. Lord, revitalize the praise and worship of this place and my own adoration. Let it start in this circle. Lord, help us to be a people who are better equipped to confess our wrongs and our sins to you. And let me start with my own sins today. Lord, may we be a place where thanksgiving is readily on our lips, and may it start within me. Lord, create in me a thankful heart. And today around supplication, and Dan McKinley will give us further instruction about this in the future, but today around supplication, Lord, who in my life today needs to know the life-changing transformation of your grace and your love? And there's a card in each of your rows. You have an opportunity to bring that name down to the front this morning as a way of standing in the gap for that individual, or that family, and saying, Lord, do something new in them and start it in this circle right here. Are you with me? Say, uh-huh. All right. You guys ready to pray? Okay, three of us. The rest of you, this is going to be a really boring time. Pastor Alyssa is going to come. And as we go into this time, I just want us to prepare our hearts by making a simple confession to him that we are here. We are available to hear his voice and to let him shape and mold us. So will you right now, in your own mind, Will you just center yourself? And here's what I mean by that. If you're holding your phone, will you put it away? If you've got your arm around your neighbor, you're holding your wife's hand, will you let her kind of be and have her space? And as we bow right now, will you just in your mind's eye take a piece of chalk? Will you draw a circle around your chair right now? And would you say, Lord, whatever good you want to bring about in this world, whatever you want to do in this world that is right and holy and peaceful, God, would you start it right here within my own heart? Lord, right now, would you allow us to take our attention off of other people, off of other situations? Would right now you give us the power through your Holy Spirit to not be focused on anyone else around us, but Lord, simply be able to look deep inside this morning to see the work that you want to do within us around adoration, around confession, around thanksgiving, and around supplication. Lord, help us today to begin a path of new energy, new life in you. And God, truly, for anything good that would become of this time, we will give you thanks and praise. So meet us, Lord, as we enter into this concert of prayer and begin to change us from the inside out. We love you, Lord, and pray these things in your name. Amen.